special game. Like, if you could say, like, in the last, I don't know, go back to Shaq.
Sure.
How many games have we seen like that from a rookie? Like what Chet did out there.
You're referring to Chet.
Yeah,
dude.
35 points, 14 rebounds, but 3 block shots.
Are we going to go with the narrative that everybody in the media seems to be going with right now that has consensually given the Rookie of the Year already to Victor? Or are we going to actually look at what Chet's doing and be able to process it and understand that this is not a rookie, you know, skill
right.
player right now? And I understand people are like, well, he's not a rookie. Well, fuck off, first of all. He is a rookie, and he's a special rookie. And anybody that says that, oh, he had minutes last year, he didn't play at all last year. So for me, I look at it like this, is that when push comes to shove, if you're comparing Chet versus Victor at this point, which is super hard not to because they're both in the West and they're both on, you know, polar opposite sides of the spectrums as far as, you know, one's winning, one's not. I look at it like this, is that I've always been about if you're one of the best players on a championship caliber team, right? And you're one of the best players in the league at your position, then I feel like you automatically get a nod because your team is so much better than everybody else. And you look at a team like the San Antonio Spurs, who, you know, they're inevitably playing completely shitty right now because they should be. And then people are saying, look at Victor. He's so much better than Chet because all these stats. But people aren't stopping and asking, if Victor played for the Thunder and Chet played for San Antonio, what would Chet's stats be like? And I got to say this, is Chet's stats would be better than Victor. And the reason they would be better than Victor is because San Antonio Spurs would be playing Chet a lot like they would be playing Victor. Not letting him go as much down in the post, trying to make it so that he's not going to get injured, doing all these other little things to protect him. So for me, I look at it like, I think that Chet is a much better player when a push comes to shove because of his efficiency. And what he is doing in the league right now as far as being efficient, I mean, just look at it, guys. 35 points last night. I mean, dude is just dominating on every single level. And yes, Utah didn't have a big man out there, but
they had Walker Kessler.
I don't really care.
Walker Kessler's pretty fucking good, dude. Yeah, I mean, honestly, he proved himself last year.
Right.
He wasn't a chump.
You're right. But Chet looks so much better than him. That's what the like level that
so
they're at.
Much
and
better.
I think we're looking at this and we're just seeing, like, personally, like how much OKC is improving as the season's going on. Like we sat last
That's
episode and we spent a lot of time talking about the duo of Shea and J-Dub. But it's like we got done talking about that and Chet's like, fuckers, what about me? I deserve to be a part of this duo.
Well, it's special to watch it happen from two guard perspective. And when two guards put up 30, but it's also special to watch it when two, like a guard and a center or a forward, you know, when they do it in tandem too. And we get to see that happen a little bit of this guy, a little bit of that guy, each time you see Shea. But it's not hard to imagine a world in which Shea scores 20, because he does do that sometimes, and both Chet and J-Dub scored 30.
Yep.
And that kind of like shifting of ability to dominate is a really special thing. But I mean, look, it's hard not to take a look at everything that Chet does in perspective of like what Victor is doing. But if you were to kind of look at it like that, like if Victor, like look at everything previous to this year and not really Victor, because Victor is great and Victor is going to go on to do great things. And this is the beginning. But if you look at everything we've seen from all the way back to Shaq, like have we seen a rookie put up like as dominant of a performance as what like Chet just did, like the 35, 13, 3 blocks, just like absolute dunking on people, like embarrassing people, taking flagrant fouls, and just like it was pretty impressive how he would play end to end. And I can't really think of anybody to compare it to. It reminds me of young Akeem Olajuwon. Like it reminds me of David Robinson as a rookie. It reminds me of, like I said, Shaq a few times, but like, I just like, I can't think of other players that really you would put this into this category of. And I get like all this It's like he's a rookie with another rookie that's great. But sometimes that can be kind of deceiving, because like if you kind of take it out of that context and you start saying, like, is there anything else to compare this to? I'm like, I can't think of anybody else other than people that became, you know, after just a couple years in the league, some of the greatest players ever play. You know what I mean?
Yeah. My favorite quote from Larry Bird was his rookie year, or his sophomore year, or whatever it was. I don't remember when it was, but he came out and he basically said that somebody asked him how he's going to handle the league and the physicality and all that stuff. He said he was scared for the first three games, but then he realized he's going to be all right because he's way better than everybody else. And to me, like, there's been very few times in the league's history where a player as a rookie can say that. And I look at Chet, and because if you want to really compare exactly Larry Bird and Chet, we can, because, you know, Larry Bird and Chet is unique because they both became part of a program that was going to begin contending immediately.
Yeah.
And that's what Chet is, man. Larry Bird came into the, you know, position of the moment he stepped on there, they're going to compete for a championship. Chet comes in here, the moment he steps on the floor, we're ready to compete for a championship. They both have a unique way of going about them. They both have this, you know, vanilla swagger. And I go back to this idea of what the basketball league is doing right now and the NBA is doing. And as much as I want to say that, you know, we're an old school, you know, pack it in the post, we're not. This is a different game. And, you know, even Mark and I study the game as much as we do. We can't tell you what the game is going to look like and what it's going to morph into in the next 3 years. We just don't. We don't know how much more valuable Chet's going to be in the next 3 years just because that's the way the league is morphing. So for us to say anything other than just enjoying this moment in NBA history, because that's what this is that we have so many young players on this Oklahoma City Thunder team. We have so many young players in this league that are going to dominate the league for 15 plus years, that this is the moment that people are going to look back and say, remember when 2003, when LeBron came out and D Wade and all these other guys that were just amazing players, remember when they came out? Well, that didn't even hold a lantern, didn't even hold a match to what this year, last year, drafts have been, because the rookie group this year, the rookie group last year, it's so far above any expectations that I've ever expected of anybody. And it's just insane to me.
Yeah. Well, we've already seen from Chet, like, there are a lot of ways to look at as special. I mean, same with Shea. We could go J-Dub, like, we could go around the horn with this one. But what I want to say with Chet right now, it feels like he's actually, like, getting better, a lot better, as this is going on. Yeah. You would usually see people hitting rookie walls. We hear a lot about this. You know, J-Dub, people talked about how he just burst through the rookie wall. A lot of our players actually accelerate. But seeing Chet put up what I would consider a career performance for 99% of the league, at this point where you should be seeing him not be his best, I'm wondering, like, if he can put moments like this up in the playoffs, like, obviously that helps our chances to win quite a bit. But, like, will people start to understand how special he really is on his own merit instead of trying to put him in context of, like, somebody else who's on the worst team in the West?
Well, the problem is with the league, bro. I mean, Shaq and Chuck have done a disloyalty to the league on every level. It's because everything is a comparison to those guys.
Yeah.
They compare this player to that player, to this player, to this player, to this player, to the greatest player, this player to that player. They do it. So everybody does it now. And that's the problem, is that I wish Chet could just be left alone.
Yeah.
People be like, man, just look at how much this baller's playing.
Balling.
But the problem is because the narrative on every, I can't turn on ESPN and watch 20 minutes without somebody being on there being like, you know, Chet versus Victor, like, this is going to be like the best rookie thing of all time, but Victor is just running away with it. Like, I get what they're saying and I can respect what they're saying, but I don't get it. I don't get the narrative that the NBA is pushing out there right now, because that's exactly what this is. Because this is not, if you're sitting down with an expert, like a true expert of the game, Right. They're going to sit down and say, well, sure, Victor's having a great year, but Chet's having an incredible year where he is having to hunt out all of his shots. He's not given all these shots like Victor is. Like, Victor's given the ball every single time down the court because their goal is to let him shoot. Their goal is to get him as many shots as possible. Chet has to search it. Chet has to work hard. Chet gets his ass handed to him in physicality shit going down there. Why? Because Chet is a dog. He's going to do what it takes to get in there. And as far as it all comes out, like, anybody that's looking at and watching that's an expert is going to say the same thing. Now, the NBA is pushing this agenda of Victor being the MVP or the rookie of the year. And I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't be surprised if they end up putting him in all, you know, first team, all defensive team. I wouldn't be surprised if they try to put him on like the third all NBA team. They're going to do whatever it takes to make Victor look amazing because it's the way that they're going to do it to help there actually be a future and a Oklahoma City versus the San Antonio Spurs rivalry will be insane for the next 10 years. And they know it. That's why the first time we played San Antonio, Mark and I talked mad shit on San Antonio, and San Antonio came out throwing punches out there. They hear it. They hear it. They know it. They can feel it, and it's coming.
Who, if you're San Antonio, who do you want to draft in this upcoming draft?
They have so many holes.
Yeah.
Like, for me, I'm looking at it in Sam Presti's eyes. Like, what do we need on the Thunder? But they have, like, I'm saying this on, I want two draft picks in this draft. If I'm San Antonio Spurs, both of them in the top eight, I'm doing what it takes too, because I would like to get another big body. I would like to get a point guard. I would like to get a small forward. I would like to get another guard. I mean, like,
it's really,
they have so many holes.
Yeah, they're the worst. If you look at it, like, with
they four drafts away, bro, from being complete.
Yeah, how good Victor is and how bad the rest of the team is. Like, these are some gaping holes. Like, Pornhub gaping holes, bro.
These are Luca holes, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, Luca can never get off the ground because he brought the Mavs too good, too quick. They touched the sun, bro.
So if you're the Thunder, right?
Yeah.
Okay. First, let's back up. We talked about this last night a little bit. Cody Williams at Colorado. When they got into, I looked at this because I didn't know you mentioned that he wasn't starting. So I went and looked at it, like his game logs. He started every game until they entered their conference tournament, right? And then they brought him off the bench for the conference tournament. Now he's
been injured time, off and on,
right, ankle injury and stuff. But he was really doing well. And then Colorado won, but Cody didn't score, and he played, I think, 11 minutes, at least minutes he played in any game that he played, something like that, right? So, does that hurt his draft value? Since Colorado won, he'll get another chance. But if he's like outside the rotation, is there any chance he drops far enough for us to get him? Or is that just not reasonable?
No, I've said this. Okay, so I remember we had this conversation back when we did a call-in. We had somebody talking about Cody Williams, right? And I said that if we had the 12th pick, right, and Cody Williams is there, we'd pick him up. But the thing is that I didn't think he was going to be there unless something happened with an injury or he lost a starting position, which I didn't think was going to happen. But now that it's happened, I do think that there's a chance that we are ending up at some place at like 11 or 12 with that Houston pick. And Cody Williams has a legit opportunity to be there because, you know, like you said, we talked about it last night. There's going to be a run on big men. I don't know if the run on big men is going to happen between 4 and 10, or I don't know if the run is going to happen just after that. And if it does affect that, Cody Williams will drop to us at 12. But I mean, it would have to take he is a top five talent in this league, in this draft. He's a top five talent in this draft. So for him to drop that bad would mean that like people lost faith in him so much.
Hey, there's at least one game that indicates that they won't be too hyped on him, but he had some really good moments early in the season. So Let's shift back because like what I think Giddy put up 6 points, but like 11 rebounds, 8 assists, like flirting with a triple double. You know what I mean? Type game for Giddy. We mentioned Shea put up 32 points. Dort didn't get the start for the second half. Coach went with Cason Wallace. I'm not exactly sure. Was it just his, you know, shot selection? Was it maybe something wrong with his injury, or they gave him some time to work something out? I don't know. But I'm just kind of like looking at things and I'm saying, I really like Cason having that opportunity to play, even with Dort playing as well as he is. Cason, he forces turnovers in a different way. Dort plays really great position defense. And Cason ends up creating transition opportunities by just taking the ball away from people because he plays great position and then he gets the ball. But overall, like what we did as a team effort, and it feels like as we continue to approach the postseason, we're starting to improve in a way that you can clearly see, like, this is going to be a great opportunity for us to get out of the first round. Now, we're the first ranked team right now, and we're looking at it saying, this first round series could be a fucking killer. Like, there's a chance it could be the Lakers, it could be the Warriors, it could be, who are the other teams right now that are, like, they're legit teams who have won before. And that play-in game kind of creates a wild card.
Phoenix and Dallas as the
Phoenix
play-in.
And Dallas are the other teams that you could end up meeting through the wild card. So as a first place team, you know, you don't want to look past any of that. You want to take that really seriously. And as we get into this playoff series, though, we've noticed a lot of chatter that people don't have a lot of confidence in us because we're unproven in playoff series. So it's kind of a fascinating thing to look at that group of four teams who all have players and teams full of playoff success. And this young team that's unproven, that's higher ranked. Obviously, we're not going to get respect until we earn it in the playoffs. But don't you think that some people would kind of like wake up to what's going on, that like this is happening before they realized it? Or are they still going to wait till LeBron retires?
Well, I think they're going to say until Oklahoma City actually beats somebody in the playoffs, it won't matter. And then Oklahoma City will end up playing like a team like Golden State or Los Angeles Lakers and beat them in 4 games. And then they'll say, well, they didn't really play. They played them down. So we're waiting for, round 2. And then Oklahoma City will play like a team like, Clippers or the Suns in round 2, right? You know, and beat them in 6 games. And everybody's like, well, the Suns and Clippers weren't clicking this year. So, we'll see what happens in the, Western Conference Finals where we play a team like Denver or Minnesota or, a team like Clippers that sneak in there. And then everybody will say, we'll see how we're doing. So then we win in 7 games, right? And then everybody's like, well, the Celtics, though, man, the Celtics is the real team in the league. You know, they've won 60 games. It doesn't matter. The Celtics are the real team. And this is what happens to every young team. And this is why it's the underdog until they're no longer the underdog. And that's why, for me, this is why Oklahoma City has an uphill trajectory no matter what happens. Because if you look at it, they'll look at it and be like, oh, they beat a struggling Golden State team. You know, that's not really that big of a deal. Oh, they beat a team that's down this year, second round. Oh, the third round, the Western Conference Finals, doesn't matter. But my point about it is when it's all said and done, it's not going to matter. We're at 48-20 right now, 48-20, right? 2 more wins until we get to 50. And then after that is all bonus. Because guess what? I was wrong. I said I thought this team was going to make it to 50 wins this year and it was going to be a big, big year for this team. Right. Well, we're going to get to 50 wins and we're still going to have 10 plus games left in the season. Like, this has exceeded any expectations that I could have ever foreseen, in the future for this team. You know, you saw a little bit better, Mark, but I'm just saying, like, at this point, I don't care how far this team gets in the playoffs. I would like them to go really far in the playoffs, but I don't care. They've already shown me enough of what the NBA is going to look like in the next 5 years and what this team is going to do. So if LeBron goes out there and we play against them in the first round and LeBron goes out there and averages 60 points a game and does some insane shit and they beat us in 6 games, you know what? That sucks. But I'm still going to look at this season as one of the greatest seasons I've ever watched as an Oklahoma City Thunder fan.
Dude, I think we all will. I think everybody's taking the time to listen to us right now.
You can't help it.
And dude, I appreciate everybody who stopped by for the live stream last night while we watched the game together. You know, life is getting back in order and we're really starting to get into gear. It's playoffs. I appreciate what you just said, but I think we both expect it to last more than several weeks. And as this playoff goes for us, we're going to really see something special because this is where people earn respect. Right now, what the guys are doing, it's all great. But until you do it, you know, in May, in June, like people just look at you like, you know, just raw, empty numbers. Like they'll always accuse you of, you know, putting up numbers that don't matter and wins that don't matter until you get that chip. So that's what we're focused on. You know, I know that the team is focused on playing their best basketball when it matters. And you see that happening now and you kind of like extrapolate and you wonder, is there a chance that the best is yet to come? And maybe we haven't peaked. And that's where I get really excited. And I think you're excited about that too. I know everybody else is excited because this is fucking crazy, dude. I've never seen anything like it.
It's that point in every conversation, every great conversation of every great human being that's ever had, that's recognized that they're on the cusp of something great, you know, whether they run a gold mine or an opal mine, or, you know, they're a footy fan, or you're an NFL fan, or, you know, you're a basketball fan. Like if you know the game you love and you watch it and study it, it's not a surprise when the team that you love starts doing really well, right? It's a surprise to everybody else. So for me, as there's still sayers and haters and nayers out there about the Oklahoma City Thunder, I take a step back. And for the first time since we started this podcast, I don't have to prove any of them wrong.
Right.
We don't have to prove any of them wrong. Because Oklahoma City Thunder is that good. We get to revel in the fact we are going to be a championship caliber team. We are going to make it to the Western Conference Finals and further. Over the next 5 years, it's going to be the most exciting basketball Oklahoma City has ever seen. And to me, that's where the starting point is at.
Bro, you're right, dude. And I don't like to bring things up, toot our own horn, so I shouldn't even do it, but I'll let you know, Dave, this podcast, after we release this one and it is out for a little bit, will put us over 100,000 downloads on our YouTube, on our podcast channel, which seems kind of unbelievable.
Oh wow, that's insane, bro.
Yeah, so wow. I think when you say we don't have to prove anything anymore, I think a lot of people have figured that out too, dude. But 100,000 downloads on the podcast.
This is on
3 years, bro.
On our podcast, like Apple.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, yeah. I want to say something real fast here. On Apple Podcasts, right? Even my buddy Blake, he didn't know this. But on Apple Podcasts, if you guys take time and go look at our reviews on Apple Podcasts, they are some of the most fucked up reviews that
they're
any
legendary
podcast has ever gotten. All right.
Mark and I
took our dicks and we dipped it into the Oklahoma City Thunder podcast shithole. And we got bit back by the fans of the other podcast.
We got the herp,
and dude, that is what's happened there. So we got a 2.1 rating out of 100-something people that have rated us. It's not a good rating.
It's
it
amazing.
Sucks. And if you read them, you kind of be like, man, how are these guys still podcasting? Because, dude, if you read those enough and that's about you, you start wondering about life. So those reviews suck balls, but I'm glad we're past that.
Dude. Seriously, it wasn't until we jumped on YouTube that we realized that people actually liked listening to us. Because those reviews on the podcast were pretty gnarly, dude.
I was like, I know that we're getting a ton of, you know, listens to every single podcast, bro. But like, how in the world are we getting 3 negative reviews every single podcast that we do? And then like, people are still listening to us in that case. But it was because people actually liked to listen to us.
There's a group of people that
heard the negative people.
They got really fanatical about defending their favorite podcast. And we whatever.
So
my point is this, Dave. you know, when we first got started, of course, we downloaded our own podcast a few times, you know, more than a few times at first. But like for a while, it was like, wow, we must have really helped our numbers. But at 100,000, dude, I think we're past downloading our own podcast.
Dude, listen, in the beginning, I want to make sure, like, there were so many things that we did wrong.
Oh, my God. We had so many things that we did wrong.
But you put a microphone in front of somebody that's not used to it, dude, and you just let them have, like, unobstructed, you know, time, you're going to find some pretty interesting things to say. So I don't want to, you know, blame it completely on the open mic. I also want to blame it on Lucy in the Sky of Diamonds, because she fucked us over, bro. Anyways, we love you guys, and we will catch you guys at the next game.